Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we get into this passage in Isaiah, I don't know why, but I've kind of noticed, kind of at the end of each section of the outline, I have a t-shirt that says I speak in movie quotes and sarcasm. I'm only going with the movie quotes today, okay? So at the end of each section, as movie quotes were kind of coming to mind, I just put it as a little quiz, a little pop quiz at the end of each section to keep you awake, all right? So if you don't have the outline, you'll have to wait until it comes on the screen, but we'll see how you guys do with these. But it's amazing how as we look at this plan, where it comes to being. Let's jump right in. We often reference the Old Testament prophecies, but in today's Old Testament reading, it's packed full of them. And a great reminder that God's plan to send Jesus and save us was the plan he had in place from the fall of Adam and Eve. Chapter 49, the second of the servant songs, is Isaiah's prophecy of God talking about Jesus over 700 years before he was born. So I want to start with just an intro. Do you view Jesus as a servant? All the different ways in which we look at Jesus, all the different pictures from the baby in the manger, his baptism, the child at 12 being in the temple disobeying his parents, right? Well, he obviously didn't disobey. They weren't paying attention. It was their fault. Jesus did not sin. We saw him in his ministry. We saw him in his death. We saw him in his resurrection. How do you view Jesus? And do we view him as a servant? When we think of Jesus in our lives, Jesus coming, do we view him as serving us? We talk in the catechism, when we get into that second article, the Apostles' Creed, his roles as prophet, priest, and king. Maybe part of this servant role was in that humiliation, when we talk about his humiliation and his exaltation, but probably don't view servant enough. So let's jump right in. And today, in Isaiah 49, we see Jesus was called, divinely called, as our servant. This was the plan. I reread the first two verses for you. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. This was that plan from the start, right? Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In fact, we're going to talk about that coming up February 22nd, where actually I'm going to be preaching on Genesis 3. So we'll hit that harder. But this was the start from the beginning. He was called from the womb. And I put John 1:1, the word became flesh. You guys know that if you've ever come Christmas Day. But I saw two other verses I thought were very important. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. In Isaiah 7:14, you all know this one. We just went through it. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Over and over. I know I reference it a lot, but do we always see it? This was the plan. And I love in verse 2 where it talks about his words are his weapons, right? His mouth was his sword. Revelation 1:16, in his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Jesus' words, it is what separated. We talked about that before. Sheep and the goats, the wheat from the chaff. I'm coming to get you. Actually, if I wanted to do it so you guys would understand this quote, it was, I'm coming to get you. But that's not the way Jesus did it, was it? I mean, yeah, Rambo doesn't come up in sermons very often. But I think Jesus, when he was set in plan, this idea is he's coming for us. Personally, each one of us. When you're talking with that person who is struggling in their faith, when you're talking with that one who is like, why? It has been the plan thousands and thousands of years for you, you specifically, to come to know the Lord. Let's jump to the next part. Jesus was set apart and faithful. Not that I don't think Dan did a wonderful job reading, but it's been a little bit, so I'm just going to reread verses 3 and 4. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I am glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity, yet surely my right is with the Lord, my recompense with my God." Israel failed, but God called Israel to save. We see that word, that name for God, for Jesus. This idea, again, Psalm 2:7. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." We certainly saw Jesus at his lowest. We talked a little bit last week in his humiliation, allowing himself to be beaten and killed. When things look dark, we trust God. It almost sounds like a VBS slogan, right? And yet that's what we want to hear over and over. What are your options? When things are hard in your life, when things are low, what are your options? Complain to your friends or spouse? Turn to alcohol? When we're struggling, how do we trust in God? This idea of being resilient. I've kind of very kindly talked to a few parents lately about how they were trying to make sure things weren't hard for their child. And I might have said something like, "Are you growing a, raising a princess or a resilient child?" Let them feel the hard. We trust in God through those tough times and we become resilient. We are called to be obedient and faithful. Later on in John, it says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with that glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus fulfilled what the plan was. All we're asked to do is to trust and be faithful. And of course, we're talking a lot about a plan, so you can imagine the quote I had. Oh, I had the verse. I already told you that one. "I love when a good plan comes together." I know this is a TV show and later made a movie. What is it? Yeah, that's Hannibal. Yeah. I heard this over and over in Isaiah, this idea of the plan. God has the same kind of plan for us as he had for Jesus. Jesus was sent to restore and save us, 5 and 6. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Jesus is the new covenant. It was the plan since Adam and Eve. It's what exactly Dave was talking about with this kids having the Holy Spirit. This idea again, how we are made new in him and in his covenant through the waters of baptism. It is truly one of the greatest things I get to do. As we become part of God's family. Even through rejection, God is faithful. Folks, we live in a sinful world. It's not going to always go well. We deal with struggle, but we turn to him. God sent his son to save the whole world. I think that's where we struggle sometimes. A lot of us versus them mentality. We see it all the time. We live it all the time. Divisions constantly surround us. And yet every single person we run into is made in God's image. purpose, spend eternity with the Father. I know this is one I use a lot. I usually use this movie quote when I talk about how we tend to justify our actions when we're doing things we shouldn't. But we are on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God because God has set before us all with different gifts and abilities with a purpose. Thy will be done. Of course, if you know me, you know this is from? That's Jake and Elwood, right? We did a choir tour in college all the way through Chicago. So I made Jake and Elwood with our choir robes on. Our director would not let us put that on the shirt. Probably a good call, not the image. But we are on a mission. And he has given us the ability. Finally, the plan was Jesus' suffering and rejection. The part we don't like to talk about, the part we're getting prepared for. As we know, Lent is coming upon us. Verse 7, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and the Holy One, the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves. Because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Very few followed Jesus early on, right? We saw that with John the Baptist. Even today's gospel reading, the disciples, as Andrew, heard John proclaim, behold, Son of God, right? They follow him. He goes to tell his brother. What the world rejected, God exalted. His plan has never been the way of the world. Even the way that some of the apostles were expecting this uprising, expecting this takeover, expecting this worldly change. That is not the way of God. That is not the way he planned it. Again, I would be out of a job if God made the world his oyster. Say, hey, if you follow me, you'll do great. Everything will be wonderful. We wouldn't be the pastor because everybody would follow him, right? What he promises is certainly eternal life with him. Not prosperity in this world, not good health, not greater than all the others around us. But he does ask us to gather him and bring him with us as we prepare to go be with the Lord. Bob Tano, a lot of you might know Sue. She worked here for a while. They went to another church, but when I went to see Bob in hospice, dying of pancreatic cancer, it was a personal one for me. My grandpa died of pancreatic cancer. Going to see Bob was hard for me. And I knew exactly why God sent me there. The way he proclaimed the Lord on his deathbed. When Bob went to pass this week, he had to be the most excited person I know because that's what he waited for. In his death, he proclaimed life. Just as I'm sure they will as they remember him. Trusting the one who died for you. It really comes down to that. I spend most of our sermons, I know, doing gospels and epistles. We don't always get into the Old Testament, but this Isaiah 49, just is that wonderful reminder that why do we ever doubt God? When he plans something thousands of years before it happens and then we see it come to fruition and here we are 2,000 years past watching that plan happen, why would we ever doubt? Trust is difficult in a sinful world. Trust is difficult when we're hurting personally. Trust is difficult when we see our loved ones hurting. But we point to the one who is in charge. The question I have for you is, do we feel worthy to be a part of God's plan? Yeah, I'm setting up my movie quote, right? Oh, by the way, trusting the one who became our servant. I set up my movie quote. Who is it? World now, yeah, we're not worthy. It is Wayne's World. Oop, there it is. Sure, we're not. If you ever feel like you're not worthy, you're not good enough to receive the love of God, you're not. None of us are. That's what makes it so special. Because he doesn't ask us to be worthy. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't ask us to even be good. He asks us to be faithful. To love him. What you're doing here, worshiping him, partaking in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is what he asks. Well done, good and faithful servants. This servant song in Isaiah 49 is a wonderful reminder for all of us that God loves us. And even through our sinful desire, he sent his son Jesus to redeem us. Yes, the same man who came as a baby, the same man who was a servant, the same man who allowed himself to be taken is the same man who paid the price for us, showed victory over sin, death, and the devil, and proclaimed eternal life that we can all spend eternity with him. To God be the glory. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
With that.